Amen. Let's stand together as we look to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Let us hear God's word read to us this evening. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. We're drawing to the end of chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel. And we do have a section from chapter 10 that we'll circle back and pick back up, and then we'll carry on with chapter 13 and finish out those portions that we didn't get to before the Passion Week this last spring. As we come to this text tonight, we're coming to the end of this section where there's been a lot of interaction. There's been a lot of great teaching. The parable of those tenants who killed the son of the landowner as he came to them. The section on paying taxes to Caesar and Christ's teaching on that. So there's been some teaching about money already in this chapter. That crazy question about the resurrection, that hypothetical, that the odds of it happening are not very high, about the one woman married to the seven brothers. The great commandment to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The interaction with the scribes and the warning against the teaching of the scribes as they walk along in their long robes and they seek the best seats in the synagogue. For those of you paying attention to biblical teaching, those would have been the front seats. It's different in our generation. And now here we have what almost seems like an aside, a non sequitur, this time when Jesus sits down opposite the offering box. We have 3 points tonight: the moment, the money, and the might. And in this moment, probably what would be awkward for you if you were to come into worship and you found me in a chair there in the little entryway of the sanctuary, just sitting there watching whoever would put money in the offering box. The trustees would come along and say, "Joel, stop that. Not your job as the pastor to know such things." But in this moment, after all the rancor, after all of the hubbub of all this interaction and this strife, this moment is very quiet. And it's very unassuming. And Christ just sits and watches. We will see he also judges. In this moment where There's a lot being given, there's a little being given. And it's almost like the sound fades out and you just hear the plunking coins. And here sits Jesus. Psalm 75 says, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck." What a perfect psalm for this moment, where Christ is interacting with these scribes who are so boastful, pretentious in all their ways. "For not from the east or from the west and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up." The horn being that imagery for strength, for might, for power, for position. Here in this moment, we are seeing almost a subtle but eschatological picture of the Christ who sits in judgment. He is sitting, he is watching, and he is weighing the deeds of those whom he is observing in this moment. Secondly, we read of the money. This section starts with the ending of verse 41b. If we ever do a fundraiser for, you know, facility renovation or something large, this will be my sermon text. Many rich people put in large sums. That'll be it. That'll be the whole sermon, the whole text, right there. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. This is merely the Spirit conveying to us through the language of the apostle and by his secretary down into language that we can understand. This offering was virtually nothing. This is an offering that we awe and we giggle at when a little two-year-old toddles forward and puts this in the box. We think, isn't that cute? Or as they would say in the South, bless their heart. But in Isaiah 11, we're reminded once again of this judge that shall shoot up from the stump of Jesse, this branch that will bear fruit, this one who has the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him, this one who has the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, this one who has the Spirit of counsel and might, this one who has the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. To all human physical observation, the offering of the widow was meaningless. If you are following the heart monitor of the kingdom, she throws in her coins and you don't even see a blip. Everyone is watching as the big guns come and throw in their large offerings. And in our humanity, in our physicality, we would look at the money, we would look at the offerings, we would look at the size of the offerings, and we would judge accordingly. But Christ does not judge by what his eyes see. Jesus does not judge with equality. He judges with equity. And hopefully I'm not making a differentiation without a difference. Our generation strives for equality, everybody being the same. Christ judges in equity. He is able to see the heart. He is able to see what we cannot see, and he judges all. That's the power of the judgment on that last great day. You're not stepping into a courtroom with a judge and a jury who weren't there and didn't know the motives and didn't know why it happened and didn't know what was said and didn't know what all of the events were. You're stepping before a judge who was right there in the room with you when you committed the crime and knows exactly where your heart was when you did it. And so he knows if a thief is stealing and has plenty and just wants more, or if a thief is stealing because he's trying to survive, and he judges accordingly. He judges with equity. And Christ, sitting in the temple in this moment, watching all of the givers, he is able to judge the money according to what eyes cannot see. And so then we see the might, we see the strength of the widow in this moment, because he calls his disciples over and he says to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. It's not just she like outdid somebody, she outdid everybody who is giving offerings. And in my mind's eye, I see all of the disciples looking at the offering box and looking at Jesus and thinking, he's lost it. We should have made sure he got that vacation he tried to take that one time up on the lake. What did I miss? How can he possibly look at this offering being given and come to the conclusion that she has put in more than anybody else? It's because he is judging with equity. He's judging not by what the eye can see or what the ear hears. Now, this is applying Isaiah 11 here is even more powerful when you understand there are these big, the offering box sometimes was this big horn that when they threw the money in, it would make a loud noise. Everybody else hears a couple of coins go in. Jesus hears a mighty gong of rejoicing, the offering of this widow. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And the world rises up and says, that's foolish. That was dumb. Why would you put into the offering box what you need to live on? But see, what Christ is pointing out here is to the strength of the widow, understanding that to sacrifice out of abundance isn't really sacrifice at all. And it's not that these other people weren't giving or even that they didn't give a large sum of money, a lot of money into the coffers of the temple. It's not that they didn't give much, it's that what they gave to them wasn't much. The mite of the widow was not in the size of her offering, of her mite that she threw in. The mite, the strength of the widow is having an ultimate, all-consuming, total faith in her good shepherd. Our mind's ear goes back to the words of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." The widow knew that her Lord had her, that she belonged to him. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Or like the gospel song we would sing at my dad's church when I was a kid. It goes, "In God's green pastures feeding, by his cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of his pasture fare so wondrously fine. His sheep am I. Waters cool in the valley, pastures green on the mountain. In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night in the valley, rough the way on the mountain. Step by step, my Lord and I." And there, sitting just across the way, was her shepherd. The good shepherd. The one who met her every need. The one who held her heart when her husband slipped into the night of death. The one whose face she would see on that last day and would recall to her and the watching universe that on that day, she did what to her was just another simple act of faith, but he saw it. She trusted her shepherd and she gave it all. Not knowing how he would provide, but that he would provide. Not knowing where her next meal would come from, but knowing it would come. There sat the one who one day would judge her, not in equality with the other offerings that were given that day, because she could never give the amount the others did. But the one who would judge her with equity, knowing that that meaningless offering she gave was all she had. We don't know the motive. We just know that she did it, and by it, she showed her faith in the Good Shepherd who sat there watching and saw her do it. And friend, he sees you. He sees you. In your financial stress and strain, in your spiritual weakness, in your sense of hopelessness, in your giving what you can, in your simple acts of faith, he sits. He sits on his throne and he sees you. And he notes the work of grace in your heart. And someday, though no one else knows or sees or understands, though others may judge you wrongly, someday you will be judged with perfect equity. And though poor, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Not by virtue of being poor, but by having been given the opportunity of being poor, to show that you trust your shepherd. That you have faith in the one who sees, who watches, who knows, and who can judge not by what the human eye can see or what the human ear can hear, but who judges by the heart. And he knows that your heart belongs to him. Please stand with me and let's pray together. Father, what a tender moment in the life of this widow. To on that day be seen by the one who loved her soul enough to give his life for her. And what an overwhelming reality it is for us to know that as we have been worshiping tonight, we are seen by those same eyes. We are known and loved by that same heart. And you see the work of grace that you have begun in our hearts, that we belong to you. And though we are poor in spirit, though we in no way deserve the grace of Christ in our life, we shall inherit the earth. Father, bless and encourage your people. Those who are hopeless, grant them hope. Those who are living and serving out of poverty, Lord, meet their every need. And knowing that The mighty judge is also our good shepherd. May we run to him. May we hope in him. May we love him in the darkness of the valley and the brightness of the mountaintop. Cause us to cling to him and him alone as our only hope. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Let us sing.